Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Blue Moon Podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Grant Peter Johnson. Let's just get into it. So, I have a lot to talk about here. It's really just one subject, but I feel like I can go very detailed with it. So, hear me out, okay? And I might go off the rails here for a couple seconds. So, autism. In case you don't know, I'm autistic, and I am pretty high functioning when it comes to a lot of stuff. I'm not disabled by it. let me explain. I am on the high functioning side of things, which means that I'm not as disabled as the average autistic person might be. But I think I can speak on all autistic people when I say that even though I'm high functioning, I still have the same problems that other autistic people face on a daily basis. I'm very grateful that I am able-bodied and I'm able to help out with things that other people aren't able to help out with, but I still have my limitations. And I've been researching this a lot lately about autism, and I really just have wanted to see what people think autism is, right? You know, kind of like, because you got your stereotypical autistic person who's a brainiac, right? Who's the smartest kid ever. He's graduated high school at like 6 years old. He's, you know, he's gone to college and he's gotten all this and he's gotten all these different degrees and he's gotten that. And he won first place in this computer quiz thing. You know, that's not true. Okay, that's not what... I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of autistic people that are very smart. And in a lot of ways, I like to say that we're all smart in our own ways because it's, I think we all use our different, like we all use brains differently. The average person uses all different types of their brains, okay? And us autistic people, by the way, it's 11:11. There's some things that are in our brain that are missing, okay? And it's hard because it's like you built a puzzle, and like, and this is how it is for me. It's like you built a puzzle, right? And there's still a few pieces missing and you can't find them, okay? But they're sort of essential pieces that need to be there in order for things to work. Now, most of it is there, right? And it might just be one of those pieces that is off to the side or that is, you know, in a random spot, right? But it's still missing, okay? And without that piece, you don't have a completed puzzle. And that, to me, is what it's like in a lot of situations because you get two different sides of people. You got I'm so sorry that you're autistic. The ones that feel sorry for you. The ones that basically walk on eggshells around you is what I'm talking about. They're the ones that they seem like they're nice and they probably really are, but there's, it's almost like they let us free with some things, you know, like they sort of, I don't know, use our autism as a way of like letting us get away with certain things, I guess. You know, they're a little too nice. They let us walk all over them, which is not nice, you know. I mean, it may seem nice, but it isn't in the long run, and it makes us feel bad because it's like, what are we going to do? You know, like, we, you know, because you either get those people or you get the people who absolutely hate you and want to use you as a weapon. Okay? Because they think that, oh, you're autistic, so you can't do anything. Or they think that you're incapable of doing certain things. Like, they'll ask you a basic thing and then they will end up doing it instead of you doing it. And so it's like, for me, and I know I'm not explaining this the best way, but for me, having autism is hard. Because, again, like I said, I'm very high functioning, but I still have a lot of the same problems. I still stim. I still have some time issues. You know, I'm very introverted, and people think, oh, when you're introverted, you're autistic. Da 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 da, and it's like, no, I'm pretty sure you can be introverted without being autistic. If you don't like hanging out with people, then that's all you. That doesn't make you autistic, though. There's other things that make you autistic. Now, okay, there could be a rare case where you're like, you're even more high functioning than me, and like you barely have it, you know, and you know you don't have to deal with all the problems that I deal with, and that's okay, or that other autistic people have to deal with. And there could be that rare case where you have it just enough to be introverted and, you know, whatever. But you know, I think it is sort of a common symptom with autism. I don't want to self-diagnose anybody here. This is just me, you know, just talking, just rambling, really. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. All I know is that I was diagnosed at a very young age. And I know that I have autism because there's just things that other people have pointed out, you know, and that, you know, I do, that make me autistic. And they're common things like stimming, like, you know, trying to sort of mask it, I guess. That's, you know, I guess that's the best word. Because a lot of people don't like your autism. And a lot of people, they become very sensitive around it. Like I said, you got those two types and they expect you to do a lot more. They expect, like, when an employee hires you, they expect to either use you to their advantage or they expect you to work just as hard and as fast as other workers. And that's kind of hard, right? Because they're not acknowledging the fact that other people work at different paces. And I've talked a lot about this in previous episodes. But I will say this here again. It's all because of the government. The government has put us into this worker bee mentality, right? And it's like, oh, you got to work to do this. You got to work to do that. You got to do that and do that. And oftentimes, in a lot of states, they don't raise the minimum wage, which makes sense, I guess. But how are you going to start somewhere if you are autistic and you don't really have a lot of resources at your hand? And you'd do better on an online job, but there aren't any online jobs. You know, because like for an online job, in order for me to make decent money, I'd have to go to college. I'd have to, you know, but then I'd have to pay for that somehow. And a lot of people don't want to go in debt. Okay. And it's, I think the main problem with being autistic is that there's a lot more obstacles that the government doesn't realize, especially in the U.S. Because like I said, the government has that worker bee mentality where it's like, oh, you're going to work as hard and as fast as these other people. And I'm not saying that we don't work hard and that we shouldn't work hard. I'm just saying that they don't recognize that other people work at different paces. And that fucks things up, really. That really does. Because it makes autistic people feel like they shouldn't be there. You know, it makes us feel upset and frustrated because it's like we try our best, our absolute best, and it still doesn't meet the requirements of the employer. And, you know, there's no job besides online jobs, right? Because I'm extremely introverted. Like, I could literally stay home for weeks upon weeks upon weeks without human interaction. And that's how I am. And I've noticed that the more human interaction I have, the less patience I have with people. And, you know, and it's really just, I have a lot of buttons that people like to press. And when you're autistic, you're not really given a big enough toolbox, or rather you're given a toolbox that's huge, but there's only one thing in it, right? And obviously, it doesn't really work out for you. The hard part about being autistic is that you have all these emotions, and in a sense, they're kind of heightened. And you feel them more than the average human would feel them. I'm not saying that we're supernatural beings or anything like that, but I'm just saying that we feel emotions differently compared to other people. And that's why we have a harder time reading the room. Here's one thing that I will say, and this is sort of a stereotype, but it is true in my sense, where if I am doing this, I'm fine, right? Right now, I'm fine. I can get out thoughts. Granted, my thoughts are still all over the place, but I can still get them out. And, you know, I don't feel shy. I don't feel held back. Once I start going on a topic, and for me lately, it has been harder to get back into podcasting because it's been like I've been having so many breaks, and I just like I need to get back on schedule, and just it's hard, but I've been trying to just get back on track. And it's also hard to come up with topics that you want to save for future projects, right? So like for me, I have a lot of things planned for my YouTube channel. I just had to find time to record them. And then I also have things for deep dives that I want to do. In fact, I actually want to do some promotional stuff tonight if I have any time left after this. So, you know, there's a lot of things I have to figure out. So let me tell y'all about something about autism is that I cannot speak on the phone for that long. I have a hard time speaking on the phone, which is weird because I can be on an Xbox Live party and everything is fine. Okay. But when I'm on a phone, I hate being on a phone. I absolutely hate it. I despise it. And I don't know why. But I think the thing is that I get all hot and sweaty and my face gets all itchy. And, it's just it happens. And then what I've noticed is that, okay, so I was on the call about a couple weeks ago. I was on a call with a college. And I was talking to the person. Like, I was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to do this. There's $60,000 that has to be involved. I had to find a way to pay it. And, you know, yeah. After I was done with that phone call, I was shaking. And I couldn't tell if it was because I was excited. I couldn't tell if it was because I was scared. And oftentimes things like that happen where it's like, I don't know why I was shaking. I think I was just nervous, you know, because it's the first time where I've had a human interaction on the phone that is like, well, the first time in a while where it's serious, you know, like it's like a serious call. And I guess I was just trying not to mess up my words. And then I end up messing up my words even more because I'm trying not to mess up my words. And that's hard. I think anxiety has something to do with it. I I've been, I'm not gonna lie, I've been very stressed out lately with everything that's been happening, you know, last couple weeks and months. I've just been, I just have had a hard time. I need a vacation. It's a lot to process, you know, and especially like when things like that happen where life changes so quickly, it can be hard to adjust. Like I eventually will adapt to it, but it takes a lot of time for me to adjust because I don't know if it's going to be permanent or not, right? And I'm that type of guy that I need dates for everything, you know? So when are we going to do that? Okay, at what time? At what, you know, day? What da 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 da. I need dates. And a lot of people hate it when I do that. And I don't do it on purpose. It's just my brain automatically thinks that. It's like, okay, it's in my head. So like if I was going on a trip, it's like, okay, that's in my head. That's going to be in my head for a while. All right. You know, I got to figure out, okay, when are we going? So I can schedule things in advance if I have to. What are we going to do during that time? How long is it going to be? You know, I have to figure these things out because if I don't figure them out, I'm not going to know. And I don't like waiting until the last second to figure that stuff out because I have things like this podcast, which I want to keep going with. And I have to make sure that if I'm not going to be there for a week, I need to make sure that I have something scheduled for that week so then I can go and have fun. And then, you know, I also need to know what stores are we going to, you know? And oftentimes, like, it's, I've gotten better in public. I have. And talking to a person I've gotten a little bit better with. And, you know, it takes time. It's been a while since I've really had any real human interactions, you know, like in person, because I try not to go anywhere that often. And then also it's like with more people being here, it's kind of harder to go because I don't have a driver's license yet or a car, which I'm working on it. And that's actually going to be in the springtime that I will figure that out. Now, you may be wondering, well, okay, so why is it easier for you to get in, you know, like in front of a crowd instead of getting, you know, instead of being on the phone or whatever, instead of being like face to face? I think it's easier for me to do that because I personally have done some things in the past that have helped me with that. So at a young age, I was an altar server for 7 years. And I mean, honestly, it isn't as easy as people make it out to be, right? And thankfully, I had my priest there. He made it all better. And, I served, I altar served when my grandmother died. And so I got to altar serve for her funeral. And it was hard. It was hard because you want to make sure that you're not a distraction and that all the focus and attention is on to God, right? And is on to the main goal of the Mass. And so you don't want to be like distracting or, you know. And so I was trying not to have any emotions, and it was really hard. Speaking of that, emotions are very different for autistic people. We may not cry right away when we hear somebody's death, okay? But when somebody brings it up in the future, that's when it gets hard for us. So we're not really the best at handling it, you know, and I'm not the best at handling it. Honestly, it's like, I think whenever somebody brings it up now, it puts a pit in my stomach. And it takes me a couple days to really recover from it because it's like, you know, I just don't think, you know, and like there's things that remind me of my grandmother, and I love her, and I'll always love her. And unfortunately, she passed away in 2017. And I know what you're going to say. That was a long time ago. But still, like, grieving never leaves. And that's one of those things where it's like, it'll always still be a part of me. And I don't cry every single day. But there are times where it's really hard for me. Because I don't handle emotions the way normal people handle emotions. So over time, my emotions build up. And, you know, when people push my buttons, it just keeps happening. I try my hardest to walk away. I'm trying to get better at working with my emotions whenever I get upset with something. And, you know, it's hard. It really is. I'm not trying to make an excuse. I try not to get physical. I very much do. And most of the time, I'm very successful, if not all the time. But it's really hard because sometimes when you're in that moment of rage, you kind of forget where you are. You know, for me, like, 1 second, I'll have all my thoughts gathered, right? And I'll have all my thoughts. And, you know, like right now, I can think of things and I have all my thoughts and it's fine. But when I get angry at something, and I'm not angry for long, but when somebody pushes my buttons, I do end up yelling at them. I do, which is not the best response, I will be honest. But I do end up getting upset with them. And it doesn't last long. And it's over before I even know it. But I do say things that I don't mean and that I can't take back. And a lot of that is because of the grieving process. So it comes in at little bits like that. And that's what makes me start to cry, is because it's just, I know that she would have wanted me to do better in life, you know? And I'm not quite doing that great in life right now. I'm still trying to figure things out. But it's hard, you know, it's hard when things like that, you know, get addressed and all that. It's just, it's, you know, but like, I'm not breaking into tears right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it really, like, the anger comes from me being upset, obviously, but it also comes from the sadness of losing people. You know, and oftentimes it's like a domino effect. When you lose somebody, you start to lose more and more people every single year. And maybe even like twice or three times during the year. And it's really, really hard because there's a lot of funerals you have to go to. There's a lot of, you know, and at times I'm scared, you know, because it's like I don't feel those emotions. Like if I go to a funeral, like my funeral for my grandmother was really hard for me because I was serving and I was trying to not have those emotions, but also trying not to not have those emotions at the same time, because I didn't want to seem like this weird ass person, you know, where it's like, oh, you're just a vampire, you don't have any emotions, you know, like I don't want to be like that. But It's really hard because I couldn't imagine her being gone, and I still can't imagine her being gone. And so it's difficult. It really is. And a lot of people tend to bring up their the way they grieve, and they tend to bring up their losses, and you know, and it's really hard. But I guess I can just I'm better at like explaining it to people, you know, because like I can kind of level with them. Like somebody, I'm not going to mention their name, but somebody who was close to me recently had a death in their family. And it was really difficult for her. And unfortunately, her grandmother passed away. It's very sad. And I felt the same emotions, and we're not that close. I did say I'm sorry for your loss. And, you know, I like when I first heard that my grandmother died, I was shocked. I didn't cry right off the bat. I was busy doing something and I, you know, I heard a knock on the RV door because I was living in an RV on a property with my mom, and the property owner knocked on the door and came in and said, "Hey, Thomas, your grandmother died." And except he actually said the name of my grandmother. And a lot of people would have broken into tears. But I didn't. I was so shocked. And I didn't know what to say. Like, I had no words. And I also had no emotions. And that's when I really realized, why don't I have any emotions? Like, this is something that's horrible. You know, like, my grandmother, who I was very close to, passed away. Why am I not crying? You know, and it feels weird. I was just in, like, I just remember being very shocked for a long time, very long time. And still kind of am, really, because she was very sharp, and it was kind of unexpected, you know, because she was doing good, and she was doing the best she could do, and she was very friendly and very sweet, and, like, I literally talked with her, like, 2 weeks before she died, and I was just like, whoa. And so that was what I was feeling, was I was just shocked. And I felt heartless for not crying. But I understand that everybody deals with the grieving process differently. And so, yeah, when it does come out, it comes out when I'm angry. And that's when I start crying. And it's not always all the time, but sometimes that's what happens. And that's always the worst pain, because it's like you hurt somebody who, like, you verbally hurt somebody who has been through a lot, and, you know, you just said things that you didn't mean to say, but you said them, right? And so they're out there in the open, and it's just hard. It really is. And there's really, like, and there's better ways of dealing with that. I'm sure, like, going to therapy would be a better way. It's just hard. It really is. And I don't know even how to put it into words on how to explain autism to people. I'm a very empathetic person, but once you press my buttons, I become less empathetic, and I start to get a little bit more on, like, I start to show my rough edges. And I think everybody, and, like, before anybody says, "Oh, you're mean, everybody has rough edges that they deal with on a daily basis. Mine has to be because I have never really dealt with trauma the right way. And there really is no right way of dealing with trauma, you know, whether it's losing someone, whether it's moving place to place. And I think that's why I have a hard time with dates and stuff, and, like, trying to make sure I know what every single, like, I know every single thing we're gonna do. Like, okay, I have a date at this, and then a date for that, and then a date for this. And, you know, that's why I need to be down to the last millisecond, you know. I think that's why it's so hard, because I've moved around a lot, and it's never been because of a good thing. It's always been because we've always had trauma as a family that we were dealing with that we never really dealt with. And we tried, and we thought moving would give us a fresh start, and that obviously didn't help. And we just had a very hard life, you know, and now it's like, it's harder for me because I've moved down here and I've been here for 3 years and I haven't gone anywhere in 3 years. And I haven't gone outside of the Lewiston, Moscow area or Kuski area, you know. I haven't gone to Spokane in forever. Like, it's been 3 years. And so I haven't really been there where, like, a lot of people who I know are. And I don't fit in with the crowd down here because a lot of people down here are retired or are on something or are just not who I want to hang out with. You know, I don't really fit into these groups. So it's really hard. And that's why, you know, I know the dangers of meeting people online are dangerous, but I have people who are older than me who I'm friends with is because I feel like I fit in with them better because they've been through the experiences that I've been through, right? Where, well, at least for the most part, where it's like they've had their time that they didn't fit in, right? And that they don't agree with what's currently going on in today's generations. And they're not happy with what's going on in the world right now. It's nice to have, like, those types of people, you know, and, you know, to surround myself with. And it's, honestly, it is really hard to live with autism at times. And I don't think of it as a horrible thing. I just think that sometimes autism gets the best of you. And you don't realize that until there's certain things that you just don't want to do, right? And so to a lot of people, it seems like, oh, you're not fun. You're not fun because you're not going out and partying, right? And it's like, okay, fine. I'm not going out and partying, but that doesn't mean I'm not fun. Like, I have my own way of having fun. Like, you know, I'm very into computers. I'm very into screenwriting. I'm very into, you know, animals. And, like, there's things that I'm into. And so it's not like I'm not a part of it, you know, like I do my best to be a part of it, but, I think that there's things in my life that are more important than partying. I don't really like going to parties unless it's like a wedding every now and again, right? Or unless it's like a party that's like actually worth celebrating. I don't mind helping set up a party, but I don't like the idea of drinking, you know, and like I have a very addictive gene in me that runs through my bloodline. So I am very, very, very prone to addiction. And so that's why I'm scared to even have one sip of any drink that isn't a soda, you know, or water or, you know, like any alcoholic beverage. And, cause I'm worried that I'm going to get hooked on it. And, that's another thing that's really hard with autism is that it's hard to socialize, but it's also hard to deal with the other problems that you were born with as well. And there's a whole list of health conditions and health problems that I have that I have no real, answer on. You know, and I had a lot of surgeries growing up, and it was not an easy thing. And a lot of, like, the things have been fixed. But people wonder why I'm so shy and why I don't talk a lot. And I do talk a lot. Eventually, once I get to know you, I'm not so shy anymore because you become more normal. You know, like, you become a part of my life for the most part, right? And so once that happens, I'm more willing to open myself up to people, only if I know them really well. But if I don't know you that well, then it's really hard for me to open up and to tell my whole life story, you know. And I think the main goal is of what I'm trying to get at here is that living with autism is really hard. And even if you're high-functioning, it's still very hard. And there are still things that, you know, I have to deal with on a daily basis and I have to try to make good decisions just like everybody else on a daily basis. And a lot of times it's like a juggling act. You got to try to get all of the, you got to try to juggle it the right way or else, it, you know, you're going to fail at it. And so it's not easy dealing with autism and also dealing with being an adult and being with all these other, you know, doing all these other things and trying to figure out what you want to do in your life. And, you know, thankfully I'm young and so I have time to figure that out. But, you know, it's like, there's times where it's like I've broken down and have wanted to commit, you know, no life. I don't feel that way right now, thankfully. And I'm in a better, I'm definitely in a much better headspace, than I was before. But yeah, no, it's not as easy as just going to a simple therapy session. Like, this is something that every autistic person has to deal with just as a whole, right? And there are certain things that, and it's even like small things where it's like, oh, you put the forks in the wrong spot. You know, because like there's like a black thing that we have that organize, like that we use to organize the silverware. And so it goes, like for me, it goes forks, spoons, and then there's a little area for like miscellaneous like spoons or measurement things that could go there, you know, like a tablespoon or something. And then under that is knives, okay? And this is after they get dried, and like this is like how they are in the cabinet. But my sister doesn't put it that way. She puts it like forks, spoons, and then the rest is the same. And sometimes she doesn't put the can opener in the utensil area. Sometimes she doesn't put, you know, it's those little things that for me, like I have to do it a certain way, you know, like I need two sponges when I do dishes. One is for the actual dishes and the other I use for the counter, and then I have to dry it off. And, I have to, like, I just, there's certain things that I do that are different that a lot of people don't understand. And I sometimes don't even understand why I do certain things that way. But to me, it just makes more sense, right? To me, forks, spoons, I think that's always how it has been, is like trying to have like a pattern. Because then for me, it's a little bit easier to visualize. And so so in conclusion, it's never easy to live with autism. No matter what end of the spectrum you're on, you always end up getting the shit end of the stick at some point. Okay. And so I think that we need to be more aware of our surroundings when it comes to autistic people. Be more welcoming. Don't try to use autistic people as a weapon to promote your business. I'm not trying to say be inclusive. I'm just saying, like, acknowledge that people work at different paces, and it's not because they're stupid. It's because they have autism, or maybe it's because they just work at a different pace, because that's just how they are. But autistic people aren't lazy, okay? We just work at a different pace, and we have to break things into little bits and pieces to be able to understand it better. And that just makes it a lot easier for us, you know, instead of looking at the big picture. We have to, like, first of all, look at the big picture and then break it down. And before we break it down, there's like a little bit of that, oh my God, that's a lot of stuff. But then if I break it down, it's like, okay, this isn't that bad. You know, I can put in some music, I could do that, and then I can break it down. So it's really easy that way. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Blue Moon Podcast. If you did, thank you, and I'll see you guys in the after show in an hour. Goodbye.